Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our study of the book of Jonah. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for your word and how you describe your character to us in it. And Lord, you even outline our own character. We see ourselves a lot in Jonah, and Lord, we would pray that you would bless us that in the days to come, that we would be more like you and less like Jonah. Help us, I pray, to learn many things from the life of Jonah. And Lord, that we would, Lord, just as I prayed, be more like you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so what was Jonah's biggest problem? Anybody, somebody? Disobedience, what, Jerry? He doesn't listen. Okay, yeah. It's kind of interesting now, because the description of pride is only by pride cometh anger. But the next part of it is this. It says, but with the wisdom, they will listen. So pride evidences itself, one, with the aspect of wrath and anger, but also pride evidences itself, but they're not listeners. You try to talk to somebody who's proud, and you can't, because they already know what. What do they know? They know it all. They know everything. So, but that's what happens. And Jonah, he'll demonstrate his pride in the fact that, he won't listen to the Lord. God tells him to go in one direction. He goes right into the opposite direction. And we know that the Bible tells us he was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people. All right. Now, how did the Lord seek to intervene in Jonah's life? Because lots of times, see, you and I, we think we're just footloose and fancy-free, that we're here in this universe, and God, you know, yeah, he created us, but then he has somewhat abandoned us, or he's up there, and he has no comings and goings in our life. But what we see here, indeed, in the life of Jonah, Jonah says, I'm leaving, I'm going to get out of your presence. But we see the Lord intervenes in Jonah's life. And how did he first intervene? Anybody remember chapter 1? How did he intervene? He brought a what into Jonah's life? Storm. Yeah, he brought a storm. And we've talked about before the three primary ways God draws us to himself. Because the Bible says nobody seeks God. No, not one. We'll see that this morning. But the way God draws us to himself is by his word, by his spirit, and by circumstances in our life. And he brings this circumstance in the life of Jonah in a tempestuous storm, we're told. And Jonah, pretty callous to it, he's sleeping in the bow of the ship. Now the mariners are trying to save their own lives, rowing, throwing things overboard. And the captain of the ship, he's indignant with Jonah's attitude and actions. He goes down, rails on him, and they draw straws to see why the storm had come about. And, of course, Jonah drew the straw. Jonah told him, hey, listen, I serve the God of heavens and the seas. Whoa! And then we're told that he also told the mariners that he was fleeing from the presence of God, and the storm was because of him. And he told them the cure, throw me overboard. But we see the mariners trying to save him. And they row and they row, but the one, of course, they're rowing against is God Almighty. And eventually they heed the words of Jonah and they toss him overboard. And sure enough, the water's still. Now, in the next chapter, we see how in chapter 2, Jonah describes that setting in the stomach of that fish, and he describes it as being compassed about with all kinds of weeds and so forth. And we see him crying out. And his cry was that he would keep the vow that he'd made unto God. Now, we're not told what that vow was. We're assuming maybe the vow was, God, wherever you send me, I'll go. But then when God says, I want you to go to Nineveh, who he hated, because of how they just mistreated the Israelite people, he wouldn't go. But now we see in the latter verses of Jonah chapter 2, he's conceding he'll go. And what happens? The Lord speaks to the fish, spoke to the winds and waves, controlled them. He speaks to the fish. This fish had swallowed him up initially, and now the fish hears the Lord again and spews out Jonah. So what do we see in chapter 3? Well, we see Jonah listening to what God had said, and he goes to Nineveh. So sometimes I hear people tell me, well, you know, God will not make us do what we don't want to do. And he does that all the time. And the way he does that is through circumstances in our life. He first speaks to us. And most of the time he speaks to us in a soft, gentle voice. If we hear that voice, fine. If we don't hear it, well, he may raise his voice. And someone else may say, listen, this is what you ought to do. Or this is what you shouldn't do. And hey, if we listen there, fine. But if we still won't listen to his voice, then comes out, he persuades us in other ways. And this is what he's doing. He has now persuaded Jonah to go. But even as Jonah is going, and he's proclaiming that they must repent or they're going to perish. 40 days, all they had time to, and he's going through the city preaching. And what we see is from the youngest to the oldest, from the richest to the poorest, they were all repenting. And God took away his wrath that he was going to bring upon them in 40 days. Now, that's where we come to the fourth chapter in Jonah. God had said, okay, I'm not going to destroy them because they've repented. And what a blessing to see that even the hardest of rebellious individuals, God can bring to repentance. And when repentance comes, God ceases from the wrath that he had purposed to do, or judgment he had said that would bring upon our life. So that brings us to the fourth chapter. Jim, would you get a sheet there for our visitor here this morning? He might not know where they're at. Yeah, you can follow along with us. So we're here at Jonah's plea, chapter 4, and we're going to talk about Jonah's pride. Yep, and also God's pardon. So let's take a look at verse 1. Verse 1, and let's read it, and then we'll answer our question. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. So the question I ask here in verse 1 is this. How did Jonah respond to it being done by the Lord? He was angry. It displeased Jonah. And that word is often translated angry, okay? It displeased him. Now, I ask you this question. What do you think it is a reference to? I do kind of give you a little hint by pointing you back to chapter 3, verse 10. Yeah, the repentance. What he was angry at is that Nineveh, almost from the youngest to the old, all of them, basically repented of their sin. And therefore, God took his hand of wrath from them. And he's displeased. Because I told you, the Jews hated the Ninevites. The Ninevites were a warlike people who showed no mercy. When they would come upon their enemy, they'd slice open pregnant women's stomachs. They would do the worst things that you can imagine. And Jonah had absolutely, positively no love for him. So we see that even when Jonah obeyed God, because, if you will, God had his arm up here behind his back, even when he obeyed in his heart, he was doing it how? Willingly or unwillingly? Yeah, now think. Listen, there's times you and I do things you know God wants us to do, but we don't do them with the right motive, all right? We do them unwillingly. Now, you have heard me tell you this, and this is the truth. When you and I do things unwillingly, let's say I give to somebody in need. I don't want to. I really don't want to. But I do, all right? I do. Well, this person is blessed, but this person is not blessed. In Corinthians, we're told in chapter 9, Paul speaks about, you know, I can preach the gospel willingly, and there's a reward. But he says, I can do it by constraint. And you and I can preach the word, and we can do it by constraint. Some way, somehow, God puts a little pressure on us, and we do it. That's what was going on in Jonah's life. Oh, he's preaching all right. He's preaching. He's spending those 40 days witnessing. But he's not happy about it. And when God says, okay, I'm going to forgive them all. I'm not going to bring judgment upon them. we see how he responded. And the fact that they repented, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now look at the principle that we learned here on your sheet. We should not get angry when others repent and God forgives them. Listen, there's times when you and I, we rub our hands and we think, boy, bring judgment, bring judgment, bring judgment. And instead of God bringing judgment, he blesses because they repented. And we get upset. Well, we should not get angry when others repent and when God forgives them. All right. We should rejoice even if they're our enemies. When our enemies, even our enemies, repent and God forgives them, we should rejoice. Let's take a look at verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. All right, so what did Jonah do? We see him what? What's he doing? He said, I prayed unto you, Lord. Now, what do you think Jonah said before he had fled? We're going right back to when God said to Jonah, I want you to go over to Nineveh, and I want you to declare unto them they must repent, or my wrath is going to come upon them. Well, we're kind of told, aren't we? He says, it's the whole idea in this verse. He's saying, you know, I know who you are, God. I know you love to show mercy. You love to show kindness. I know who you are, God. And I know who you are. But he also says, I know who the Ninevites are. I know what they've done to us. And he was in a quandary. Knowing who God was, knowing who they were, he did not want to preach the gospel to them. Now, what did Jonah know about God's character that made him flee? Well, what are the attributes of God that he mentioned here? First one is what? Gracious. Now, and that's the way it's translated, I show you. 13 times in the Bible, gracious. But watch what comes next. Merciful. Compassion. There's your Hebrew word right there. Now, here's what I do show you. You see the word gracious and merciful? They come together almost every time they appear. These two appear together. God is gracious and merciful. God is merciful and gracious. They appear, and I give you references where they all appear. Now, notice the third one. Slow to anger. Well, anger, yes. Wrath. Nostrils. What's that about? Well, if you ever seen a bull get angry, the nostrils come up like this. Well, that's the idea. And he's saying, and he says, Lord, I know that you can be given the wrath. I know that. He's experienced it. He's known what it's like to be in a storm. He's known what it's like to be in the stomach of a fish. And then he says, you know, about your great kindness. And that's also our word mercy. I know about your mercy. And you know about mercy. That's receiving something we don't deserve. Or we could always say even this. It's not receiving something we do deserve. And then he says, oh, finally, you repentest of evil. That is that the whole idea, and that's also translated comforter or comfort. When we turn from evil, God is our comforter. God will bless us. And he says, and that's what I was afraid of. I was afraid of, Lord, if they were to repent, you were going to show mercy. And I don't want you to show mercy on them. Look at your principles there on the bottom. Because we know the characteristics of our Lord, instead of fleeing from God, here's what I say to you. We should follow God and demonstrate the same characteristics in our life. So ask yourself, hey, am I gracious? Am I merciful? Am I slow to anger? Am I of great kindness? Do I repent of evil when individuals repent? Do I? All right, verse 3. What did Jonah want the Lord to do to him? Let's take a look at it. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So what did Jonah want the Lord to do to him? Take his life, kill him. Why did Jonah want the Lord to do this? He did not want to see Nineveh blessed. He didn't want to see him saved. He was angry, yes. And notice the principle I put down here. We should not desire to die because we don't get our own way. We should submit to God's will. I'm dealing with two individuals right now by phone in counseling. Both of them desires of taking their life. And you want to know why they want to die? In fact, the other one the other day said, I wish God would kill me. Just about like with Jonah. Why? Because he didn't like what's going on in his life. He didn't want to, and he does not want to, accept God's will for his life. Right now, there's a lot of mental anguish going on in him. And he is unwilling to accept it. And he would rather die than go through what he's going through. Most individuals, when they come to a place and they start asking God to kill them, or they look to kill themselves, it's because they are unwilling to submit to what's going on in their life. They don't like the pain. They don't like the suffering, whatever form it comes in. And they want to have God kill them. And this is where our boy is. Jonah is saying, I beg you, kill me. It's better for me to die than to live and watch Nineveh repent. I don't want to see them blessed. All right, but let's move on. Now, we're moving to Jonah's pity and God's punishment. Verse 4. Then said the Lord, very interesting, doest thou well to be angry? Do you do well to be angry? So, well, that's a question that the Lord asking. Now, the first time we see that question asked by God was way back in Genesis 4. Way back in Genesis 4, we have Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel, God had instructed them what kind of offering he wanted. And Abel, he brought what God wanted him to offer. Cain, he decided to do things his own way. And God did not accept his offering. Well, what happened? Well, let's read it. Yeah, I'll just quickly read it to you. And in the process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he brought the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. That's what God desired. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But to Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. All right, he got angry. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, Sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall sin desire, his desire, and unto thee shall be his desire. But you ought to rule over sin and not let sin rule over you. A little paraphrase. Here's the point. From the beginning of time, men have sought at different times to do their own thing their own way. And when God has not accepted it, we get angry. Think about it. Your parent tells you to do something. And oh, you go and do what you want to do your way. And your parent doesn't accept it. Do you get angry? Sure you did. But what God, what we need to learn is that what God desires of us is to submit. To submit what is he's permitting in our life. At this time, it was the aspect that he was giving repentance to a whole city, some hundred, 600,000 or more. And he asked a question, well, doest thou will to be angry? Of course, the answer to that is no. Look at your principle. Doest thou well to be angry? Is something to ask ourselves and others when we and others are angry. Most of the time, when we're angry, is that we are not accepting what is going on in our life. Now you say, well, do I have to accept sin? No. But you need to deal with it biblically. And an angry spirit is not the way to deal with it. But watch, now watch what's going on. So Jonah, he went out of the city. He sat on the east side of the city. And there made him a booth. He sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. What do you think Jonah's still hoping? He's going, yeah, he got far enough away from the city hoping that God's going to still destroy the city. He went out of the city. What did he do? He went to the east side of the city, made a booth. And why did he do that? Well, that he could see what was going to become of the city. I write this. You know what? We should not sit around and watch and hope for God to judge others. Yeah, bring it on, Lord. They deserve it. We shouldn't do that. And look what happens next. And the Lord prepared a gourd. He made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. So what did the Lord prepare? Well, and by the way, prepared, numbered, appointed. This is something God appointed. Now, this is not the first time we've seen in this book where God has appointed something, where he's prepared something. Remember, go back to chapter 1, verse 17, and it says this. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. That's the first thing we see that God appointed. Look at chapter 4. Here we see it again in verse 6. And we will see it again in verse 7, but God prepared a worm. Verse 8, God prepared a vehement east wind. All of these things ordained of God, appointed of God. Now, what about this gourd? Well, I'll give you an idea. It's a castor oil plant, which grows to a height of about 15 feet. And it provided quite a bit of shade, or could, for a beast or animal, or for man. What did this plant provide for Jonah? Shadow over his head, we're told. And how did Jonah respond to being delivered from his grief? He was what? He was glad. Here's this plant God brings up, gives him great relief from the sun. That east sun, remember he went on the east side? Look at your principles. The Lord is in control of all creation. Whether we're talking about storms, whether we're talking about fish, whether we're talking about even a single plant. We can't wrap our mind around that, how God is in control of all the single plants. You got a plant, and it withered up and died. Man, you did everything you could to keep it alive, but it died. I mean, can you wrap your mind around that there's nothing living that's not under the control of God? And, of course, the next principle, hey, when the Lord delivers us from grief, we should be glad. When the Lord delivers you, you ought to be rejoicing. You ought to be giving thanks for sure. Oh, but watch, the story's not over yet, is it? Verse 7, but, oh boy, sometimes the buts in the Bible are not all that happy. Sometimes they are, but here it's not too happy. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd that it withered. God had prepared a plant, whew, went up quick, gave him shade. Happy days are here again. But then God prepared a single worm. It came and ate that plant, that it died, that it withered. The Lord's in control of all creation, even a single worm. The next principle, when our love for something is way out of whack, the Lord may chasten us by taking it away. You and I can, we can get to a place where we love something even more than we love God. And we, you know, we latch onto it, maybe with one arm, maybe we, and we still got a arm on God, but we got an arm around this. And it's not healthy for us. It's not good for us. We have an inordinate affection for this. And we know we ought to have both arms around our God, but we sure do love this. Whatever it is, we sure do love this. And yeah, we know it's contrary to the Word of God. God tells us not to love this, not to, you know, have this affection. But we just don't have the strength to let go. So God has the power with to do this, to take our arm away from it and to put it here. He can take this, whatever we have a love for, and take it right away from us. Any number of ways. Well, I'll tell you, Jonah loved that plan a lot. It provided him shade in the heat of the day. And this single worm now came and ate it. I mentioned this to you from Job 1:21. It says, hey, the Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. And how did Job respond? Well, Job said, hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, it's easy for you and I to rejoice. Man, I've got shade. I can rejoice now. But can you rejoice when the shade is taken away by a worm? How do we know that we've submitted to the will of God? You see, it's so easy to submit when God says, here is $100,000. Some way we get $100,000. He said, spend it wisely. Woo-hoo! Man, we can rejoice. Hallelujah! Went out last night, took my wife out to Cracker Barrel. Pulled in, parked, went in, had a great meal. Sherry Baker was with us and had a great meal. Come out. Man, what's electrical things are going on? Oh, I said, oh my, what's going on? Electrical problem? You know, the car's brand new, 2017. Come on. So we monkeyed around. Trent came. I said, well, Trent, you better come here. Might have to get a ride home. He got there and he tried some things. Nothing. I said, well, God needs some wisdom. So I called Denny. Denny Orshan. I said, Denny, here, and Trent was talking to him about a car. And Danny says, oh, you know what? My 2017, the battery just died on it too. So the battery says, yeah, jump it. Well, okay, I don't know. Doesn't sound right, but I'll jump it. I mean, this battery can't be bad already. Jumped it, boom. So then I went on over to the battery place and got a new battery in it. But why do I say all that? Well, listen, I can rejoice when that car is running well. You know, when it's running sweet. But what happens when I need it right then? I need to get home. I've got a guest with me, and Teresa and I got the guest. Come on. Can I rejoice then? See, that's the key. That's when you know the test of submission is not to do that which we like to do. The test of submission is to do that which we don't want to do. The test for Jonah was to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to do that. That's the test of submission. And the test of submission for each of us is, will we do what God wants us to do, but not necessarily what we want to do? Well, let's see how Jonah responds, okay? Verse 8. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared, get this, it's not bad enough he took the plan away. Now what does God do? And God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon his head of Jonah, that he fainted, and he wished in himself to die. And he said, oh, we haven't heard this before, have we? It's better for me to die than to live. Listen to me. You say, I don't care how much pressure God puts on me. I'm not going to do his will. One little worm eats a plant. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's warm out here, but I can endure until God says, you can? Let me bring an east wind, a vehement, hot, piercing wind upon your life. I've had people tell me, well, God cannot make me do what I don't want to do. Don't be foolish. That's what life is all about. God will speak to us. He'll speak to us in a soft voice. If we listen and do it, praise God. If he has to raise his voice, he will raise his voice. If he has to take out a stick, he'll take out a stick. But I'll tell you, in the end, God's plan will be accomplished. God knew single worm, that judgment was not going to be enough to bring him to repentance. God prepared this vehement east wind. Man, it beat down on his head and he fainted. And what's Jonah's modus operandi now? When he's in a place, pretty painful, he doesn't like it, what's his modus operandi? Kill me! I'd rather be dead sitting in this hot east wind. Kill me. Even there, what do you see? The stiff-neckedness of God, or excuse me, of Jonah against God. Kill me. If you ever read the book of Revelation, in those last days, great judgment is going to come. I mean, the types of torment that's going to be upon man is unbelievable. And yet you'll read, they won't repent. Showing you how stubborn, how rebellious mankind is. Well, watch what happens though. A couple of principles there. Lord's in control of all creation, wind, sea. In the flesh, when we are fainting, when suffering, we may wish we could die. We need to give thanks to God even when we're suffering. That's what we need to learn. Verse 9. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Whoa. Has God changed his mode of operandi? No. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd. And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. So again, we see what God says to Jonah. He said it back in verse 9, says it here in verse back in verse 4, here in verse 9. But we see again how Jonah answers him, I do well to be angry. Ever dealt with someone talking about their angry, about their anger? Have you ever heard them say, yes, I have a right to be angry? Or something like that. And this is what he's saying. And I mentioned this to you about principles. An angry spirit will often be the reason one desires death. I'm not telling you that everyone who desires death is angry. But I guarantee you most of them are. I'll guarantee you the vast majority of them, 90, 95, 96, 97, 98% are. They're angry. And they're angry about their situation. They're not content in it. They don't want to be in it any longer. It's too painful. Look at how we conclude this chapter here. Verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which when it came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between between their right hand and their left hand, a lot of children there, and also much cattle? So what did the Lord say Jonah had pity on? What did he have compassion on? The gourd. He had compassion on the gourd. And how did he respond when the gourd was taken away? He got angry. God says, you can show compassion towards this gourd, but you get upset when I show compassion towards 600,000. Some of them don't know the right hand from the left hand. Young children. And you're angry because I'm concerned for these little ones and for much cattle. You're upset over one plant. Come up in a night. Hey, and by the way, how much did you labor over that? Did you plant it? Did you hoe it? Did you water it? Did you take care of it? No. It was up in one night and gone the next. And look how much compassion you had towards that. How much you grieved over the loss of that single plant. And you have no grief over these hundreds of thousands. Well, and I think you know what the point the Lord was trying to make, don't you? And I read on the bottom of your sheet, page 3, hey, there's nothing wrong with showing compassion over God's creation. There's nothing wrong with that. But how much more so over mankind? If you want to show grief over the loss of a plant, fine. But my goodness, how much more so over an individual, over many individuals? What question does the Lord ask Jonah? Well, it's just that. Should not I spare Nineveh? That great city wherein are more than 6,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. And like I said, and also much cattle. What are some last principles here we can learn from this book of Jonah? Well, God's plentiful compassion is contrasted with Jonah's petty concern. This is a whole book about compassion, about showing compassion. Showing compassion on those we love. Those who've done us so many nice and good things. No. showing compassion upon a people who have hurt our nation over and over and over again. They have done so many wicked things, it can't even be listed. And yet he's saying, listen, go and preach. He says, I don't want to preach because I know you, God. I know you're gracious. I know you, God, you're compassionate. I know you, God, you're merciful. You're going to take your wrath off them when they repent. I know you, and I'm not going to do it. It's about compassion. This book is about showing compassion towards our enemies. Jesus will write a whole chapter on it in Luke 6. He says, I want you to love your enemies. Love even your enemies. And he gives us 10 exercises that we can perform in loving our enemies. The first thing is, he says, do good to them. He says, pray for them. He says, speak well of them. Those are the first three exercises. Then he goes on and says, show them mercy. Next purpose is this. Our love for something else must not be out of proportion for our love for souls to be saved. It's all right for you to love a plant. It's all right for you to love this animal. But the thing that you ought to love more than anything are the souls of mankind. And I just end by saying this. You know what? We need to have a greater compassion and concern for the lost, for the unrepenting, that they will repent. Because sometimes the ones that need to repent are not only the lost, but also the saved. They need to repent. And we need to rejoice and be glad when they do repent. All right, let me ask you this. We got about 3-4 minutes. Anybody got a question on the book of Jonah that you'd like to ask? Al. It's kind of interesting too about when the prodigal son left, he comes back, his dad's throwing him the party. The brother stayed there and worked the farm. He comes home and he says, what's going on? Yo, your brother's come home. He's repented and come home. And man, dad's given him a ring. He's put a coat on him and he's killed the fatted calf and they're having a party. Go on in. They're looking for you. And the Bible says he got angry and wouldn't go in. Dad, he came out and he begged him, come on in, come on in. He wouldn't forgive. He wouldn't forget. And he didn't rejoice. And that ends, Al, that's what made me think of it. That ends, well, did he ever go in? Or was he ever estranged from his heavenly father and his brother? Well, that was good. That was good. Somebody else? Anybody else? Yeah, Sharon. Yep, yeah, they were attacking the house, right? Amen. 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 Anybody else? All right. Well, let's thank the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, we look forward to next week as we begin our study of eschatology, things to come. Lord, we look forward to seeing the signs that are evident throughout the world. They ask, and even here in America. We just anticipate you to be teaching us many things about what is to happen in the days to come. We thank you, O Lord, for this short study of the book of Jonah, these 4 weeks, these four chapters, a lot of meat, a lot of things that you want to teach us about yourself and about ourselves. Lord, I would pray again that this week you would find us walking more and more like you, showing ourselves to be gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, and repenting of evil. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you for this time together, and ask that you would just continue to encourage us through the morning worship service. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.